nation that is hostile to liberty and freedom and faith. We are a nation whose economy is floundering, whose stores are not stocked, whose deliveries are not coming, and whose educational system is ranked at the bottom of every list. We are a nation that in many ways has become a joke. But soon we will have greatness again. It was hardworking patriots like you who built this country, and it is hardworking patriots like you who are going to save our country. There is no mountain we cannot climb. There is no summit we cannot reach. There is no challenge we cannot beat. There is no victory we cannot have. We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. Ever, ever, ever. We will never give in, we will never give up, and we will never, ever back down. We will never let you down. As long as we are confident and united, the tyrants we are fighting do not stand even a little chance. Because we are Americans, and Americans kneel to God and God alone. And it is time to start talking about greatness for our country again.
Good morning and welcome to everyone tuning in from wherever you're watching. It's Saturday, November 19th, 2022. Welcome to our Saturday edition of the Great Steak Breakfast, episode 8. I'm Ro. Noah's here.
Yo.
The host of The Great Divide, Alan Jacoby, is with us as well.
Good morning.
Guys, thanks for tuning in. Before we get to any of the news, we can't forget some of our greatest friends and partners, namely MyPillow. You like sleep? I don't. Get enough of it. But you want to know what? Mike Lindell can help you get through your required 8 hours or
2.5.
The finest of power naps. When you enter promo code STEAK at checkout at MyPillow, you're going to get big, big savings on everything they've got going on down there, whether it's a MyPillow Classic, a dog blanket throw, or even Air Lindell's version 1 and 2s, the My Slippers. Also, if you're more of a morning person or just don't sleep, they've launched My Coffee. It's available in the bag, the bean, and the pod.
Still waiting for the IV.
There you go. When you enter promo code STEAK there, you're going to get 25% off single purchase, 50% off when you subscribe to the monthly. So mypillow.com/steak for anything sleep related, mystore.com/steak for anything coffee related, or you could always talk to a qualified pillow representative, 1-800-658-8045. Can't talk about our partners without mentioning My Patriot Cigars. Alan's launched My Patriot Cigar Company. They are hand-rolled, aged 3 years from the fields of Nicaragua. Consequently, it's right next to where Mike Lindell picks his coffee beans.
Yeah, we waved to each other the other day again. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Everything's good.
When you enter promo code STEAK at checkout there, you're going to get 15% off your total order. Every order over $100. Free shipping and a $10 e-gift card with every purchase. MyPatriotCigars.com, a premium smoke for freedom-loving patriots. Good morning, lads and lasses. Everyone tuning in. How's everyone doing, Noah?
I'm here. I'm ready.
Sounds about, party. Sounds about right for the 7 a.m. hour on the East Coast. Let's time travel. Alan, how's everything looking on over
we're,
there?
We're on the West Coast.
Well, that's how early it is. How's everything looking over there on the East Coast now?
And, you know, just cold and things looking all right. Now they're going after Donald Trump. We're fighting the good fight. And it's just another beautiful steak Saturday.
Yeah, it is. We had a week after the midterms seemed to be a week of announcements this week. If you go back and look at all the news that broke, wasn't too much big breaking news, but a lot of announcements in the things that are coming down the pike. I think we can't start off the show and kind of recap the week without talking about the biggest announcement. Well, depends on what side you're on, which was the event that happened at Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday night. Donald Trump announced his official candidacy, his third re-election campaign, second re-election campaign, third campaign overall to take back the White House in 2024. First horse in the race, biggest horse in the race. Let's hear the 45th president make his announcement.
There are a lot of bad things like going to Idaho and saying, welcome to the state of Florida. I really love it. In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for president of the United States.
That's right.
Thank you.
There's definitely no low energy in that room.
Yeah.
Thank you, kids. Thank you. All of you. Thank you. Thank you. So many incredible friends and family here tonight. It's such a beautiful thing. It's some people say, how do you speak before so many people all the time? If when there's love in the room, it's really easy. If you want to know the truth, it really is. You ought to try it sometime.
Obviously, talking to the fake news media there.
Yeah.
Well, the boss was a little under the weather for his announcement. I think I caught whatever he had going on heading into the weekend here. But what do you guys think? Right time, wrong time? There's no perfect time.
I mean, is there any other time?
Exactly.
That's a good point.
What do they say? Historically, they don't announce until 100 days after the midterms. I think it's a great time. I think, why not? Let's just get into it.
I mean, are we making a Kamala Harris, like, talking about time reference?
That's true. In the space that
brings us together. And
in time.
Gotta love those Venn diagrams. No, I think it was more than the right time. And a lot of that has to do with part of the latest Substack we put out this week. Kind of covers McLeadership on the Republican side. That's McDaniel, McCarthy, and McConnell. You could throw some of the others in there as well, like Tom Emmer. But a lot of the things that we have philosophically looked at and just done wrong over the course of the last half decade. You know, some of the things that I was able to point out in there, in addition to all of establishment Republicans' failures over the course of the last few years, is the things that we just aren't doing right and enough of. And I saw a pretty good stat last night that will have us actually, you know, agreeing with going against the flow moving into the 2024 general election. So early voting and vote by mail are two things that Republicans, you know, since before COVID have always been pretty much against. It was the whole Patriots vote on game day philosophy, you know, that came out of a lot of, you know, pundits and influencers' mouths. In 2016 with the Trump general election and in 2020 with Glenn Youngkin's gubernatorial win in Virginia, we saw where numbers like that can break the mold.
Yeah. But
for the most part and everything in between, we've saw with vote by mail and early voting and ballot harvesting where states allow it, Democrats have had the opportunity to just stack the chips to points of insurmountable leads. Now, over the course of the last 48 hours, I've seen a lot of exit polling and research come in. I'll give you guys a couple examples right now. The last one's going to be the best one. So check this out. Pennsylvania, over 60% of the entire Democrat electorate voted before the Oz Fetterman debate. We've talked about that on the show before too.
And then Googled how to change their vote.
There you go.
Yeah.
In Michigan, 80% of the Democrat electorate, because their early voting is so early, 80% of the Democrat electorate voted before October 1st, when the general election was until November 8th.
Wow.
Yeah. Same thing in Arizona. We had like 63-64% Democrats early vote. And probably included a lot of independents, moderates. Okay, so, and then the one that really stuck out to me was on Botox Queen Laura Ingraham's show last night. She actually talked about this narrative. And one of the things that they looked into was the state of Georgia. Now, after his last win and following 2020, Brian Kemp harnessed early voting and mail-in votes, ballot harvesting.
Wow.
Believe it or not, the final tally was Brian Kemp beat Stacey Abrams by 6,000 mail-in votes, which basically eliminates Democrats' chances of winning and led to his double-digit lead in the gubernatorial race this year. So he completely erased what they used as their X factor or our answer to Patriots vote on game day,
right?
Semicolon. We've seen in places now like Arizona, if that's what we threaten the Democrat state legislator with, they're going to make sure that nothing works on election day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a month to count the votes.
Yep.
So
we're just going to magically not have ink, paper.
Right. Or in Arizona, Roger Stone was talking about it on I think Alex Jones's show about the length of the ballots, where the machines were only they were made to accept ballots of 19 inches, and they were getting ballots printed from some central voting place, somebody's basement, not apparently by law at the facilities, and they were 20 inches, and machines weren't accepting it. I think there might have been a judge talking about it. Someone was talking about it, that someone's vote was rejected 15 times because the machines wouldn't take it because of the length of the paper. So what's going to happen in the future? Because mail-in ballots are not going away. Voting early is not going away. It's just not. Unfortunately, we all want it to. We want it to be voting day, not voting month, not voting season. We don't want election season. But in modern elections now, it looks like it's going to stay. So they're always going to find something, whether it's the ink, there's going to be some sort of defect, and that's going to be something that Republicans have to keep in mind and look for. But mm-hmm. And maybe we'll get into it. Republicans have to now play fire with fire, and there are already people talking, especially in my neck of the woods, about, well, harnessing the early vote for Republicans. Not if you vote on election day, you vote on election day. But like in New York, 7 million people left their vote on the table. So How do we get to them? Because the Democrats are brilliant at filling out the request for the ballots, right? So already, you know, here you go. All you have to do is sign. We'll send it in and you'll get a ballot. We'll come and pick it up. Well, in New York, there's no laws about ballot harvesting at all. It's just unspecified. So maybe that needs to happen. Not maybe, it does need to happen, but not for the people that are going to historically vote on election day, because there are a lot of people that aren't, and we have to, and the people that we need to reach, the younger people, the Gen Zs, the single white females, the messaging, all of those people, we need to bring the polls to them now, because that's what the Democrats are doing. And I don't know who agrees with me, who doesn't. And I think that's what we need to do as Republicans, is play the game better than the Democrats have been playing it.
Yeah, you just look at the absolute math, the black and white, how dare me, of it. But Alan said 7 million people in New York State didn't vote, right? Let's just go low numbers. Let's say a third of those, maybe less, is registered Republicans. A third of those registered Republicans would have voted by mail, and you would have Governor Lee Zeldin in New York.
100%, no doubt about it. I mean, Long Island flipped all four congressional seats to Republicans. New York is sending 11 Republicans to D.C. I think we spoke about it on the phone, Ron. You can argue the fact that California and New York saved the House. Two blue states surprisingly may have saved the House for the majority.
Mm-hmm. And all the campaigns use early voting and vote by mail as part of their regular rollout platforms. And, you know, we have to look at those blueprints. We have to have people who are involved. Unfortunately, the RNC is going to have to really look into this. We're going to have to get people like Scott Pressler, who's been great at registering, to now take it up to another level. And we can't get too big for our britches. This can't be like, I want to start this whole thing and try to turn it into like a national operation. It's got to be geographically battleground targets, major cities, college campuses, places where it's hard to, usually get people involved who normally don't participate, because, you know, when you look at the amount of people that we're just leaving on the table, it doesn't make any sense. I think in addition to all of the new and comprehensive ways that we vote in the future, one of the other things I pointed out in the Substack here was the social media aspect and the lack thereof for, you know, Republicans in the mainstream. Not only on, let's say, the internet, are we up against things like a 7-to-1 progressive to conservative, you know, favorability in search engines, which means, like, let's just say you Google Donald Trump, you're going to get, you know, six bad articles before you get one good one on Donald Trump. And then that's the case for a lot of Republicans who are kind of stuck in these algorithms. In addition to that, you know, a lot of people have abandoned mainstream social media as part of their normal platforms. And I'm talking about Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, places like that, for places like Getter, Gab, True Social, and Telegram, which is fine.
I forgot about Gab.
Yeah, they're very small echo chambers where the message doesn't reach the independents, the moderates, the potential walkaways. And that's where you want to see it. So I think reworking the way ad campaigns go, both on television and the internet, and then having at the congressional level, our congressmen in the House who are going to work there now, bringing these people before to ensure that these things aren't, you know, in place during the next election cycle. are some of the largest components that we really need to work on, in addition to leadership. I mean, Kevin McCarthy's going through it right now. He's gonna probably have his feet to the fire worse than anybody, but he's the biggest opportunist out of all of the leadership in the RNC. You know, Ronna McDaniel is elected by her constituents of the GOP. They're all mega donors. They just want her to go out there and parrot whatever they want to get their right. message across. Same thing goes for Mitch McConnell. He only cares about himself. He doesn't care about what anybody says. He doesn't care about bad press. He doesn't care about nicknames. He doesn't care that Donald Trump calls his wife Coco Chow. Mm. He doesn't care for any of that stuff. Like, he just doesn't give a shit. I mean, but then you get to Kevin McCarthy, and he's navigated his way by licking the right balls for the last decade, you know, and he's got his way to a point to where he's just about to wear what he needs to be. But now he's receiving legitimate pushback. And, yeah. and we all know that he needs 218 votes to become Speaker of the House. And as of right now, he doesn't have it. He's a little over 40 votes short, which historically the last two or three House speakers were kind of in the same situation. But unless he's willing to work with some of the stuff that some of the really big Republican caucuses want, and especially the House Freedom Caucus, they're not going to vote for him. No. And they're going to take a crappier Speaker of the House because he doesn't deserve it. None of the people in leadership deserve anything. I mean, Mitch McConnell literally lost us the Senate. Like, his doing solely lost us the Senate. It guarantees.
I thought Donald Trump lost us the Senate. Oh, wait, I thought the private citizen Donald Trump lost us the Senate. Isn't that right. what everybody's saying? The private citizen, not the GOP leadership's fault, right?
It's sad when Donald Trump spends more money out of his pocket than, you know, the person who's supposed to be Senate. Well, could have been majority leader, will be minority leader again. And even though we did see, I think, 11 Republicans, so it was Rick Scott plus 10 push back and vote no confidence for him, he is still going to have enough votes to retain leadership. Still waiting to see if Lee Zeldin jumps in the game. I honestly think that was something we all kind of like wished into existence on Twitter. And then Lee Zeldin's like, yeah, I think we are going to do this. So now he's considering a run for the GOP chair.
I hope so.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then obviously with Kevin McCarthy, who knows where it's going to go. It looks like we're going to have Tom Emmer as the whip, but, you know, beating out Jim Banks by a very narrow margin when you consider everything on the table. But we'll have to see going from here. Just in addition to leadership changing the ways they govern, we're going to have to, you know, change the way we asked our potential constituents to vote moving forward. Because if we don't, I mean, Georgia is a really good blueprint for it. Didn't use it in 2018, harnessed it in 2020, eliminated Stacey Abrams, any kind of lead she would have been able to get, and potential voters who won't come out on election day. So it's something that it was really surprising to me to see how much success Brian Kemp had with that. And we need to be using that model in some of the other battleground states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, Nevada, because state legislator wise, we're losing a lot of. You know, like we lost the House and Senate in Michigan, you know, Pennsylvania is obviously a lost cause right now. So if we're going to continue to pour money into these states, we need to re-examine the way we invest it instead of just saying like we're going to pull or give ad campaigns to candidates we like or don't moving yes. forward, because we all know how well that worked out this election cycle. You know, speaking of social media, we were talking about it before the show, the poll on Twitter right now still stands at 52-48. Yes, Elon Musk put out yesterday a poll to reinstate former President Trump. It has actually gotten over 11 million votes so far in about 14 hours, and we're standing at like 11.1 million votes. We were up a little bit bigger yesterday. I think it was like 54-55%. Last night around 10 p.m. Pacific, but we did survive the 3 a.m. ballot dump.
Mm.
And currently
I have it up here. Just everyone who has a Twitter account right now, if you have Twitter, you got to go there and you got to vote yes. We don't know if it means anything. 11.2 million people voted, just like you said.
Yep.
Reinstate former President Trump. Go on Elon Musk's Twitter and vote yes. And it's who knows how, and it's just crazy. It just keeps getting retweeted like live right here. Who knows how many people, how many of those accounts are bots? I think Elon even maybe mentioned something about that, right?
He said something about the bot attack.
But it's, you know, get on there and vote. It's sad that this poll even has to exist. I don't know what his, you know, rationale,
that's what his rationale is.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, if he wins, you know, if the poll wins, yes, is to reinstate, is he just going to, okay, Donald Trump, you're back on Twitter. And then the question is will Donald Trump actually use his account if it's reinstated?
Well, I think that's the thing that we were just talking
about. He's going to have to. I mean, even though he said he wasn't going to ever go back, it's like You can't just turn your back on one of the most major platforms that you have available.
Absolutely. If Facebook needs to reinstate, you know, they came out and said, well, you can't fact check now that he's a presidential candidate. But I noticed, and I didn't notice it before, his account now says political candidate or presidential candidate, it says on there on his Facebook account. But I don't, he doesn't have access to it yet. I don't think he's back on there. But I don't know if that's a new change. Is he going to be allowed back on Facebook? He's running for the highest office of the land. He should be on Facebook as a candidate. And just really quick, not to drag it on, but earlier to your point, Ron, everyone with a Gmail account, I want you to check your spam folder, because when these political candidates, conservatives and Republicans, are putting out election emails, whether it's for donations, they want you to read something, they're all, most of them are going into your spam folder. I looked the other day, maybe about a week ago, and I had eight pages of spam email, all election email, Herschel Walker. I mean, you name it, they were all in there. And that's where they were all going. So you're not seeing them. So anyone with a Gmail account, just open up your spam folder and take a count on how many election emails from conservatives go right into the spam folder because of Google's ridiculous conservative hating algorithms.
Mm. That's an excellent point. Keeping on the thread of announcements this week, we did see a fairly good one. I believe it was on Thursday. The House, led by House Freedom Caucus members, announced that they were going to be opening an investigation into something that we've been talking about for nearly 2 years on our shows, and that's the Biden crime family. Let's hear Representative Comer give a little lead-in on it.
Releasing a report today that details what we have uncovered. We're also sending letters to the Biden administration officials and Biden family associates, renewing our request for voluntary production of documents relevant to this investigation. This is an investigation of Joe Biden, the president of the United States, and why he lied to the American people about his knowledge and participation in his family's international business schemes. National security interests require the committee conduct investigation, and we will pursue all avenues that have long been ignored. Committee Republicans have uncovered evidence of federal crimes committed by and to the benefit of members of the president's family. These include conspiracy or defrauding the United States, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud, violation of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, violations of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, violations of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, tax evasion, money laundering, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. The Biden family's business dealings implicate a wide range of criminality, from human trafficking to potential violations of the Constitution. In the 118th Congress, this committee will evaluate the status of Joe Biden's relationship with his family's foreign partners and whether he is a president who is compromised or swayed by foreign dollars and influence. I want to be clear. This is an investigation of Joe Biden, and that's where the committee will focus in this next Congress.
I now turn. So, for those who are tracking at home, that was 10 potential felonies that he listed in his rung of charges.
You know what I like about it? I like, so during the past few years, especially Republicans have been jumping up and down. We have to look into Hunter Biden. We have to investigate Hunter Biden. And then, of course, the left's argument is, well, Hunter Biden isn't the president. And, you know, it's the president's son, and I get it, and, you know, the ties. But I like how he says this is an investigation into Joe Biden, because I haven't heard it that way really much from anybody. It's everyone. We have to look into Hunter Biden's business dealings. And I like the messaging on this, and I hope that it's more than messaging, but I like that it's presented as this is an investigation into Joe Biden. And it's amazing to me that they listed all of what they were looking into. And of course, we know Joe Biden responded right away to that. Ron, you saw the response, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're coming after it's political revenge against the sitting president. Oh, where have we heard, you know, where has that happened before, you know?
Well, we'll get to that in just a little bit. I did want to stay up on Capitol Hill and stay in this thread. I saw a new friend of Steak for Breakfast and current Congressman-elect Corey Mills came out with some of his House Freedom caucus counterparts yesterday, flagged by MTG and Matt Gaetz to talk about all things Ukraine related. Let's hear it.
As well as for everyone in the press floor as American taxpayers, we deserve to know where our money is being spent and where it's being utilized. But we also have to recognize the fact that both times that Russia has actually violated the sovereignty of Ukraine, who was in office? Joe Biden. And why didn't they in 2014, when the Russians came across, declare a violation of the 94 Budapest Memorandum? Mm. That the Federation of Russia, United States, Ukraine, and the UK and Northern Ireland is a part of as a signatory. It was a non-nuclear proliferation agreement that basically recognized their sovereignty if they got rid of their nuclear weapons. Why are we not utilizing international treaties and agreements that's been violated as a mechanism for sanctioning? Why are we continuing to allow this to grow and become some, you know, warmongering military industrial complex buildup that only benefits who? Not the American people. So I think there's a lot of questions that need to be asked on this, but the real answer is this. Americans deserve transparency of where their money goes. That is our job as elected officials. And when I actually was on the conference floor, and my colleagues will tell you, that's one of the questions I asked to leadership. Will you commit to 100% audit of Ukrainian funds so that the American taxpayers know where their money is going? Thank you.
I definitely think the angle there is a good one, because we all know that they can't tell where all the money goes.
Oh, there's no way.
No.
Where all the military equipment goes, where all the humanitarian aid goes. And once we start finding out how much of it we can't keep track of, I mean, Joe Biden proposed another almost $40 billion for Ukraine next year.
But who are they laundering the money through now if that FTX is gone?
Yeah, that's another
everything thing else.
That's kind of just absolutely wild. But I definitely see a lot more pushback on just blindly sending money to Ukraine in the next session of Congress starting in January. I don't think we'll be getting those. You know, Joe Biden's going to be able to send those under $1 billion earmarks that he could just write off of his desk. But we won't see the billions and billions of dollars that we've already seen now, nearly 32 border walls worth of cash aid and funding, you know, ushered over to the region. And what an absolute fucking waste of money, in my opinion. Another big announcement that came this week before the one that Alan teased, I think, was one of my favorites. And that was Nancy Pelosi talking about how she's going to be stepping down from leadership positions within the Democrat Party with the retirement of her speakership in January. Yeah, what do you guys think of that? You know, we got up to, we're sitting at 219 House reps with a couple races left. And, you know, to see her out of leadership, I potentially don't think she's going to last her entire term, whether or not she moves over to the open ambassador spot to Italy that Joe Biden's teased, or she just steps away from politics totally. I don't see her filling out the rest of her term in a Republican Congress. What do you guys think?
No. I mean,
she's probably going to get hammered and fall off the chair eventually.
I think Paul Pelosi's upset she had to give up the hammer.
He's
going to go to Italy.
No, that's very true. It's
gavel me harder, daddy.
And gross. But it's definitely a big changes in the Democrat Party. We're going to see, Representative Jeffries, who sits on the House Judiciary, move into probably Nancy Pelosi's leadership spot.
Hakeem Jeffries. Big election denier, by the way, everybody. Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat out of New York. He's a big election denier.
He certainly is. And what do you guys think about who else would probably be potential? It looks like Benny Johnson's staying. They're appointing some kind of counsel to who's that old lady from California, the one with the swollen feet that always wears the heels? She looks like the witch from The Dark Crystal. What's her name? Maxine Waters.
Who's isn't she heading the investigation into that the cryptocurrency money laundering thing?
Yeah, so I'm sure we'll have a nice thorough investigation there.
Yeah, we'll investigate. You know, they government investigating themselves.
They should put she's a senator, right? Yeah. What do they got AOC doing? I'm surprised she's not, you know, attempting for something.
I think she's in charge of handing out garlic knots.
There you go.
Garlic knots and handies.
Yeah, topping off my apps blue ribbon.
Yeah, just She's putting the scrunchie on right now.
Well, it's like now that they've lost control of the House, I mean, what committees is she going to want to sit on? They're just going to blow her out of the water and call her an absolute retard whenever she opens up her mouth in any of these congressional investigations anyways now.
Rightfully so. I mean, she is.
Yeah, it's big to start to see the changing of the guard. We did play a clip on our show yesterday, more on the Senate side. You know, Leader Schumer was out there grifting to illegal immigrants, talking about not only how the next session of Senate, which starts in January, is not only going to be working to protect all of those big, beautiful DACA recipients. They're looking for amnesty for as little as, and then he said, who knows how many are actually here, 11 million illegal immigrants, pathways to citizenships. When you look at all the people that have come in the U.S. southern border over the last 2 years, you got to think this is going to be like Reagan amnesty on steroids.
Yeesh.
And that's some of the garbage they're going to be pushing in the Senate come January. So, you know, they're working very hard. Between that and transgender rights, they'll be definitely working hard to bring down those prices at the gas pump and the grocery store for the American people.
Yeah, they need all those votes going into 2024. Let's get them all citizens and voting cards. Let's go.
I think that's going to really backfire for them. They're treating all these illegals that are coming in right now like such crap.
Yep.
I mean, they are getting the free fast pass to get released into the United States, but then they're not giving them everything like they used to. They're just kind of dropping them off at the Buc-ee's there in South Texas and telling them to have a nice life.
Mm. It's wild. I love that when they get into New York City, they want to get the hell out. Like, we don't want to stay here. We want out. We came from wherever they came from, Central America, Mexico, wherever. And they get out of the bus in New York and they're like, no, we don't want to stay here. This place is a shithole. No,
I don't want to get killed.
Yeah, I don't want to get killed. Exactly.
I'm waiting for those two buses full to arrive in Philadelphia early next week. They're on their way en route from Texas right now. What'd you guys think of the Abbott announcement? You know, the pseudo declaration of invasion that he put out this week.
I got to be honest. I didn't give it much of a look over, and I meant to. I was supposed to look at it because I had one of my followers ask me to talk about it, and both of my own just busy. So, isn't he was busing more illegals to like Pennsylvania somewhere or something like that?
Yes.
All right. I guess I'm ignorant to it because I didn't really take the time to read it. So, well, what do you got on it?
I'm going to pull it up right now. We could talk about it real quick. I don't know. There's a lot of gray area, but the fact of the matter is,
they're going to work on Fetterman's campaign.
Yeah, there you go. So
he declared a state of emergency, like it's an invasion of the border or something like that, right?
Yeah, I'll read the tweet right now. And this is coming from Greg Abbott's official Twitter account. I invoke the invasion clauses of the U.S. and Texas constitutions to fully authorize Texas to take the unprecedented measures to defend our state in the case of an invasion. I'm using that constitutional authority and other authorization and executive orders to keep our state and country safe. And then there was a couple bullet points to be attached to it. And they include deploying the National Guard to safeguard the border and to repel and turn back immigrants trying to cross the border illegally. Deploy Texas DPS to arrest and return border immigrants who crossed illegally, and deploy DPS to arrest and target illegal immigrants for criminal activity. Build and complete a border wall in multiple counties along the border. Deploy gunboats along the Rio Grande to secure the border. Designate Mexican drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. Enter into a compact with other states to secure the border that want to participate. Enter into agreements with foreign powers and enhance border security, and provide resources for border counties to increase their efforts to respond to the border invasion. Hopefully the biggest one there will be redistricting the map so Republicans can win them all.
That would
be the biggest tool.
I mean, obviously we know that the drug cartels are terrorist organizations, but I feel like that the actual official designation could potentially, I mean, give some people who don't have a credible asylum request, like, oh, we're fleeing terrorism now.
Yeah, when you look at that kind of fine print, it doesn't really bother me because anybody who walks up to the border comes in.
Yeah,
so I could care less.
It doesn't matter. Stuff. Yeah. Semantics at that point.
When are the Democrats going to start fleeing the domestic terrorism of MAGA Republicans and leaving the country?
When are the Democrats going to start talking about the border agent that was killed yesterday morning in a gunfight with
Puerto Rican, right?
Yeah, in between Miami and Puerto Rico.
Can I ask about that?
Yeah. So,
and I'm not seeing that really anywhere.
Five that got shot, one was killed, one's still in critical condition. So, yeah, that's where we're at in regards to it.
So. I saw the video of the Coast Guard medevac bringing them in, whoever they were bringing in. But I don't even remember where I saw it. But this wasn't a major news story that these drug cartels literally shot and killed. One agent died or two?
One so far. One's in critical still, though.
And they weren't – were they Border Patrol or were they – they were
I don't know what the exact acronym is for the ones who are on the oceans.
Okay.
It's not the Coast Guard. It's something within, Border Patrol and Customs, but not, I don't know what the designation is for them, but.
It's the Air and Marine Operations, I think.
Oh, okay. Looking that up on the computer right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
Regardless, American law enforcement was killed by drug cartels and our mainstream media will not speak about it because it doesn't fit their ridiculous fucking narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
literally the people that are out there protecting you on the water from these legitimate terrorist organizations are being killed by these organizations and silenced from the assholes.
And I believe this is going to be the first death of this nature on the border since the Fast and Furious stuff.
Yeah.
Which was back in 2014. So
are we going to see more?
Yeah, you can only speculate, and we'll be keeping a big eye on Greg Abbott and what he's trying to do there. I would like to see the repelling and returning. That's the biggest part of all that narrative that I read you.
Yeah.
The turning back and returning people who cross illegally.
Well, if Texas and Arizona get their heads out of their asses and legitimately like declare states of emergency like this, obviously without Carrie Lake, that's probably not happening in Arizona. Yeah,
Katie Hobbs already said she's disabling the Border Emergency Task Force.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. But I mean, hypothetically speaking, if they had both been on board with the same thing, then California would be fucked.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I can't wait to see what happens like in the areas of Arizona after she disables the Border Task Force and how, I mean, I don't understand the people of Arizona. There's no way that they want this. There's no way that they want all of the crime and the drug smuggling. You know, Sheriff Lamb, Pinal County, who Arizona, who I've become very friendly with over the past year. You know, we text back and forth, we speak, and I don't take advantage of it, but he's always willing to come on and talk about what's going on at the border. But he always does a lot on social media, and he says that his deputies at least once a day are getting into some high speed car chase because of what's going on with the illegals coming from the border. And when they're apprehended, you know, that they're finding either people in a car, a lot of drugs, because that thoroughfare through, I guess, Arizona, a lot of drugs. And yeah, it's wild what they're finding. And now we know it's going to get worse. And I even say, like with New York, now that we have Kathy Hochul as governor, I can't wait for the summer of 2023 when the city of New York explodes like it's the summer of 1984. It's mm-hmm. like the same thing down at the border. I don't know what our Republican House is going to be able to do. I feel like there's going to be a lot of gridlocking. Ron, maybe you have a thought on it, but are things going to get worse before they get better over the next 2 years?
Before they get worse?
Before they get worse. Are things going to get worse before they get worse?
Yeah.
Worse before they get worser?
Worsest?
Well, and then it's the Democrat policy is like, well, you know, we can't go after these people. So there's been a lot of car chases which puts everybody at risk. So we're not going to just target where the crime begins, which is at the border. We're just going to say, well, just don't chase them.
Yep. Which is the case in a lot of these instances.
So basically it's like what we're seeing everywhere in California with like, well, you can shoplift up to $900
with two garbage bags
worth without getting arrested. So, well,
don't chase them. Don't enforce the law. Buying
garbage bags at Costco, apparently, or shoplifting them.
Just wait until the murders, rapes, and burglaries and robberies go up.
Yeah.
And then you guys could just add those to your stats while you're investigating them and letting them out. Speaking of, really quick, California. Well,
we'll blame that on domestic violent extremists, probably.
Right, exactly. What happened in California when all those recruits, where were they from? One of the sheriff's offices that where the car hit them, and I think 10 of them are in the hospital. A lot of them.
LASD, LA Sheriff's Department.
they let the guy out of jail.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're saying he fell asleep at the wheel now, right? Yep. Isn't that the story? Yeah. If that wasn't on purpose, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I don't
sleep at the wheel or not. So what was the perpetrator? The driver of the vehicle, perpetrator. I don't know. Did they release a name or photos of him? Do we know anything about the guy? I didn't see that part.
I think I saw photos. I don't remember. I would assume the name probably, but who knows?
Yeah, they did on local news out here. It didn't seem like relatively anything too nefarious or planned or plotted. But the fact of the matter is people died. People got hurt. People are going to be.
Yeah, even if it's involuntary manslaughter, you're not letting people out for that. You're kind of going to be hanging out for a while.
But yes, you are.
So, welcome to California.
Philadelphia, the West Coast.
Probably New York, too. I don't know if that's one of the ones on the list. I know in New York.
Well, you had the guy get out of jail and hack his ex-wife to death. I mean, after he attempted to murder her.
Yeah.
So, yes, attempted murder is definitely something you get out of jail for in New York as well. Jumping back into it. So we had a lot of good announcements this week. We had Trump announce his candidacy for the 2024 general election. He's going to run for president again. That's official. We had the Republican House of Representatives say that with the start of the next session of Congress, they're going to be investigating the Joe Biden crime family. Nancy Pelosi being removed at the ballot box from Democrat leadership is something that we're all looking forward to as well. But the way that the federal government has operated over the course of the last 2 years, especially, is something that we know we can never enjoy. Even like a figurative W for more than 24 hours. And it was yesterday afternoon that we heard the announcement from Revenge Hire, the current U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, and the Justice Department on just how they were going to take the wind out of our sails. And much to my dismay, let's hear it.
I've concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint a special counsel.
So Trump announces he's running for president and the Republicans take the House and tee up investigations into the Biden family. And suddenly a special counsel's appointed. So who is this special counsel? His name's Jack Smith. He's a Democrat, so he'll probably hire a team of other Democrat prosecutors to investigate the former Republican president. Mr. Smith began his career in New York and worked for the Clinton and Obama administrations. And right now, Mr. Smith's over in Europe.
Mr. Smith served as a chief prosecutor for the special court in The Hague, charged with investigating and adjudicating war crimes in Kosovo.
So he's going from The Hague to Mar-a-Lago. They really know how to pick these special counsels, don't they?
It's laughable at this point.
You know, they threatened this when he was going to, they said, speculating he was going, Donald Trump was going to announce he's running in 2024. And immediately they were like, well, they're considering if Donald Trump considers running for president, the DOJ, may consider appointing a special counsel. It's like, well, if you're going to run for president, we're going to do this.
It's just threatening him at that point.
Right. So had he not announced he was running for president,
they would have left him alone.
None of this would have happened. And now, of course, the narrative they're running now with the indictment, the vile savages on The View, your favorite people, were out there the next day saying, well, he's running for president to avoid indictment, to grift off the presidency and make money because of his mounting legal bills, which is just nonsense. We know that. And then I think it was yesterday, it was Bill Barr's coming out again, and it's becoming increasingly more likely Trump is indicted, within the next 90 days. And I think, to me, honestly, when he gets indicted, because we know most likely he will, I've said it before, I think he's going to use the indictment in his favor. He's very clever. And I think, again, that will galvanize the base, just like it did with Mar-a-Lago, to, this guy's going to be president in 2024 to shove it all up your establishment asses. And, It's going to be interesting. Pompeo, Pence, they're all starting. They're all nonsense. And the mainstream media is just going to go with it. And this is what we got for the next 2 years, boys. So strap in.
Yeah, I definitely think I do buy into a lot of what you're saying. I, part of me, though, thinks that if they had anything that was going to be indictable, we wouldn't have seen this special counsel. I think this special counsel basically, you know, to use a sports acronym or analogy, but this just punts the current narrative down the road for the next, you know, 18 months to 2 years, right into the general election. And they're going to hang all these things over his head, you know, like election tampering, foreign relations, taxes, stuff like they're going to use all those words in the media over and over again. And I just think that if they were going to indict him, it would be so much easier to just do it now and kind of suck the wind out of the sails. But they're going for the, you know, death by a thousand cuts, and slowly, like it has become the case with everything, you know, that this administration and the one prior to it, the Obama administration, you know, operated and targeted their political opponents.
I feel like this is like a really bad video game. Like Donald Trump is the main boss you have to defeat, right? And since 2017, they've gone through all these lives. They've gone through Comey, Mueller, Stormy Daniels' attorney, Avenatti. They go Letitia James, Garland, and now this guy Jack Smith. This, you know, to go and slay the big bad evil Republican boss, the big bad orange man. It's comical at this point.
And they're using cheat codes now.
Yeah.
using cheat codes. Remember when you had to A-B this and that and all the buttons on the remote just to get your cheat codes in? That's what they do. Yeah.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A-B.
So, and, you know, we always like to remind our listenership and everyone that's watching, we've yet to see final form Donald Trump also. So, you know, he has not reached final form yet. But when he does, I'm sure we won't need to announce it. Everyone will know. I saw Steve Bannon. He kind of went into a boomer sweat induced tirade yesterday on his show with a special edition of War Room. I don't know if you guys saw, he'd redone the got away from the pandemic. Now they're just a War Room. I also saw like an overwhelming majority of our guests appear on that show this week. And it's just funny. And kudos, but you know, to the larger apparatus, which is the War Room. He was calling Merrick Garland a pussy on his show yesterday, dropping it like over and over again. I was actually pretty impressed that he had gotten there. And shortly thereafter brought Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia's fighting 14th district on to talk about Jack Smith and some of the money he's probably not going to get if he wants to head this special counsel. Let's hear it.
I just want to tell Jack Smith he's not going to get much of a paycheck, because I'm going to do everything we can to make sure that there is zero American taxpayer dollars appropriated for Merrick Garland's special counsel, which is nothing but the Democrat Party's campaign arm to campaign against President Trump when he is running for president in 2024. And there's, okay, we're going to use this one method. We're either going to use the Holman rule, which we're going to be putting in our House rules, which will allow us to reduce or cut the funding, the salary or funding of any federal program, especially in the special counsel's case. Or what we can do is we can completely take it out of appropriations and put in the appropriations bill saying that no funding can go towards the special counsel. And that's what we're going to be doing here. And it's going to be real simple, Steve. We're done with it. We are absolutely fed up. We saw it with Russian collusion, with the Mueller investigation. We're not going to do this again. So that's it. We're going to stop them, and we're going to do it through the power of the purse.
Now, whether or not they have enough votes in the appropriation committees to get there, I'm optimistic, but not going to put all my eggs in that basket. There are a lot of other ways legally. I would just, you know, the RNC, Ronna McDaniel, she needs to get out the big gun lawyers and sue the shit out of the U.S. Justice Department. Donald Trump, unfortunately, needs to do the same. And then you're going to have people at the congressional level working through the appropriations process, which will begin again in January. So I definitely think there's a lot of steps moving forward. We just don't ever push back as hard as we need to. And, you know, I definitely think by trying to sue these people out of existence every single time they do something like this would be one of the ways. Because, listen, when you talk about Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, Donald Trump, Peter Navarro. What's something that's very similar in all of these instances when you bring up those names? Not the fact that they all served in some point or context in the Trump administration, excuse me, but The fact of the matter is they are all being financially ruined by the U.S. Justice Department in not go anywhere, have to defend yourself, lawfare tactics.
Yeah.
So, 100%. You know, it's the wind of the week was kind of taken out of the sails. But we all know at the end of the day, the toughest of them all is Donald Trump. He spoke at a black tie event last night. And although he gave a fairly long monologue on it, did officially push back in the verbal context from the podium. I pulled a small clip of it. Let's hear where he's at regarding this whole new special counsel situation right now.
Investigations and hoaxes and scams from the day I came down the escalator at Trump Tower. And you'd really say enough is enough. Got to get back to work. Got to prove that we have a great country again, because right now it's not great. Right now it's a laughing stock all over the world. And we sort of all had it. The people of the country have had it. Joe Biden is a corrupt and incompetent political hack. And you take a look at all of the money that he's taken from foreign countries and others, much of it through his son, Hunter, who is a corrupt drug addict and implementer for his father. Where's their special prosecutor, by the way? Where's their special? They said when I announced I had to do this. Well, he announced, too. He said he wants to run. Where's their special prosecutor? And we are innocent. They are not innocent by any stretch of the imagination. They have the proof right out there for all to see. They left the exact blueprint of much of the criminal activity is done on his laptop from hell, they call it, the laptop from hell, which was gotten inadvertently, but luckily for America, when he incredibly left it at the repair shop to be fixed. That was not a good day. That was not a good leave. I wonder if the father was upset about it. He may not have understood the meaning. Did he understand that that was not good? Because he said he's the smartest person I've ever known. Right? Hunter's the smartest person I've ever known.
He's got a problem.
A lot of people shook their heads at that one. Does everybody remember the $1 billion of USA funds paid to Ukraine under the condition that they get rid of the prosecutor? That prosecutor's got to be fired. Remember that? Nothing gets done. Why isn't there a special counsel being set up for them? Tremendous corruption. They're corrupt people. They're criminals.
So from the standpoint of Donald Trump, obviously he doesn't give a shit. He knows he'll definitely survive it. He'll probably lose several tens of millions more dollars in legal defense and fees. But the fact of the matter is this is the life he's become unfortunately accustomed to over the course of the last, 7 years, and heading into the eighth right now. What do you guys think? Obviously, whatever they have and whatever they're going to investigate regarding this special counsel is going to go absolutely nowhere. But you guys do all agree that they're just going to drag Donald Trump through the mud.
It's just an excuse to try to devalue his potential run or his actual run. But it's actually a good thing. You look at it this way. At this point, there's a lot of people that aren't living under a rock and don't believe everything that the media is saying. So the fact that people are seeing this with confirmed corruption on the Biden family side versus Trump's nothing. You can't help but see it. And it's like if you're having an argument with some freaking vagina hat wearing idiot, you can just be like, well, I mean, all this other stuff has been completely debunked while all this other stuff is 100% true. Who's more corrupt?
How dare you?
How dare you?
People have to realize that this is the Democrats announcing their campaign strategy against
lawfare.
Yep. Donald Trump. Yeah, lawfare. I mean that, and they unfortunately they're really good at it. And the Republicans really need to get their heads out of their ass, especially the GOP establishment, who again I will say on the record are the ones responsible for all the losses that the Republicans sustained, not private citizen Donald Trump, who remember 233 wins, 22 losses. That's pretty damn good. And I want to see Donald Trump become president in 2024. I'd love to see him name Ron DeSantis as the attorney general and get him in the White House in 2028. Enough with the Trump versus DeSantis. It has to be Trump, then DeSantis. And that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I saw it floating around social media yesterday, and I actually, whoever originally posted that, I commented on that I actually don't hate that narrative.
No.
you know, of Ron DeSantis maybe filling in as the Attorney General of the United States in the next Trump administration. I think that would be a better than solid move. And I think it would be one, you know, just based off his popularity, that would be easily confirmed up on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would be fun to see Ron DeSantis as the Attorney General in charge of the corrupt DOJ.
I tell you what, the next task at hand for whoever is the administration of the Republican Party has a lot of work to do, because we did not win control of the Senate in the midterm elections. We're going to have a hard time not pointing out all the stuff that's going on there incorrectly and, you know, unconstitutionally, but firing these people. You know, we saw and you know, played a bunch of clips on our show this week, Alan, about the hearings that were going on for Alejandro Mayorkas. And all he did was kind of blow it off. He doesn't have the data, or the data that they're giving him does not reflect the actual scene on the ground. And then Christopher Wray, I mean, they were able to confirm through whistleblowers and literally made him admit that he blew off their last hearing in August, that he's required by law to attend early so he could go on vacation on the government's dime with his family.
Right.
And, you know, they just don't care. They don't care. You could just see it. Like, he's like, okay, you know, just the way Christopher Wray was answering the questions, you could see he's just like blowing it off. Like, he's like, well, what are you going to do? You're not going to do anything to me.
They're just going to keep kicking the can down the road and just deflect, and we'll see what happens. I mean, Mayorkas needs to go. Christopher Wray needs to go. Merrick Garland needs to go. We know that they are enemies of this country. They're enemies of the American people. And there's no way around it. I mean, they're pulling FBI agents off human trafficking cases to go work and push the January 6th narrative. And that will be one of the best announcements after January, is when they dissolve the January 6th commission. That, I think, will be.
When are they going to let the January 6th people go?
Yeah. They're coming up on 1,000 days in jail, with some of them not even being charged.
It's fucking bullshit.
It's what something else that the Republicans need to get going on, especially in Congress, figuring all that out. But, you know, really quick, I just want to mention, everybody, we have a tremendous, I can't do a Trump voice, election in Georgia runoff, Herschel Walker. And I'm seeing a lot of social media and his opponent, Raphael Warnock, of people from all over the country getting on Raphael Warnock's website and donating to him. And we know that it takes money to win elections. And those people that are not in Georgia and in Georgia, you have to get over to teamherschel.com. You have to. And please donate something, anything you can, so that they can do that voter contact advertising and get out there. People are going to be deploying after the holidays, Ron mentioned, to get boots on the ground and campaign for him. But we can't lose this race. All these people that voted have to come back out. We need more, and Herschel Walker needs money in order to get that message out. And Raphael Warnock is right now fundraising like crazy, and he's getting donations from California, from Texas, Idaho, Minnesota. Okay, they're sending him boatloads of money, and we need to do the same. And it's something I think the Republicans fall short on. Well, I don't live in Georgia. This is not about Georgia. This is about America. This is about the Senate. This is about us. Herschel Walker needs to hit that and win that Senate seat, and he needs all of our help. So go to teamherschel.com, whatever you can, whether it's $1, $5, $10, and or more, and donate. I've donated a couple times. I'm going to donate again this week. So please just donate to Herschel Walker. We need that seat. It's very, very important. Don't lose sight of what's going on. That's still a major election that needs to happen.
Yeah, if we can get you know, like a third of the libertarians who voted in the general election, and then a small fraction, maybe, of a percentage of Brian Kemp's votes, where we did see exit polling data that showed there was a lot of people who were just not feeling the Senate race and said that they voted for people like Brian Kemp and then left this Senate seat race open. So if we can get, you know, bring a percentage of that back, and then those, the 2% and change libertarians, if we can get, you know, the ones who identify more commonly with Republicans out of that group to vote for Herschel Walker, I mean, it's a slam dunk. We will have a 50-50 Senate. We will, you know, only be able to pass legislation then with a tie-breaking vote from Kamala Harris, which is very unpopular, with tons of Democrat Senate seats up in the 2024 election, every single vote that they'll be taking will be placed on display for all to see. So we make the equation of us not only winning back the Senate, but winning it back at a reasonably marginal good difference after the 2024 elections. But we have to take care of the work that's ahead of us. Get in there, support Herschel Walker. I think we're actually going to have somebody. I got a text message. We're trying to get Herschel on before the runoff. His team has already promised if he wins the runoff, he'll be back on before he's sworn in January. But they asked, do they want somebody from the campaign to come on and talk about what events are going on, how they could help out and donate? And I said, absolutely. So either on our Tuesday and Friday show next week, we're going to have somebody from Team Walker on. And I'm very friendly. I text with like two or three of them, and they're really nice people. But, you know, we got to get out there. And as for as exhausting as these midterms have been, really help Herschel Walker get over the finish line and be the next senator from the great state of Georgia. Wrapping up here, Alan, where are we finding everything The Great Divide on social medias and podcasting platforms?
So I'd like, you know, for everyone to get my shows and this show, go over to the Rumble channel, and it's really easy to get to. Just go to 1776live.tv, subscribe to the Rumble channel. You'll get my show. You'll get The Great Steak Breakfast, and follow me on Truth Social, The Great Divide podcast verified account. So hit Truth Social and go over to 1776live.tv so you can get my shows and, of course, this one, The Great Steak Breakfast, on Rumble. Please hit the subscribe button on the Rumble channel so you can get notified of our shows whenever they're popping up.
Yeah, you can find everything Steak for Breakfast across every downloading podcast platform. Or an audio only show except on Saturdays when we do The Great Steak Breakfast, but you could find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, of course. Hit the subscribe button there, leave a comment, rate the show after you listen to it, and you know, hopefully you'll continue to come back and make Saturdays great again with us. So
yeah, this will be the last Saturday before Thanksgiving, so everybody have a happy Thanksgiving out there. I think we'll be back at the Saturday after Thanksgiving for The Great Steak Breakfast, right? And then you're doing your shows Tuesday and Friday, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's it, guys. I think we did another great The Great Steak Breakfast. So
great success.
Until next week, we'll see you all soon. All right.
Take care, everyone.
All right. Take care.